going to look at the very first chapter together. That's James chapter 1. And we're going to jump down to the 19th verse is where we are going to begin. James chapter 1, and we'll begin our reading in verse 19. And let's notice what the Bible has to say here. James chapter 1, verse number 19. The Bible says this, verse 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man is the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face into a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world." Let's take a moment and talk to the Lord. Lord, we're grateful for your word that we have before us this morning. And Lord, we believe by faith it is your word. It is powerful. It is sharper than a two-edged sword. And Lord, your word knows us better than we know ourselves. And so, Lord, as we come before you, we bow before you in submission and humility. And we ask your help, Lord. We desire for you to convict us and to direct us and to guide us. Lord, I pray that we would be different because of hearing and doing your word this morning. We love you. We thank you for who you are to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to notice, if we could, in our Bibles this morning, this expression. We find it in the 22nd verse. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." Jesus often used this expression. He said, "He that hath ears, let him hear." As we have opportunity, we must take the opportunity that God gives us to hear the word of God, and not only to hear it, but obey the truth that the Lord has. Our world today is filled with various opinions when it comes to the Bible and different approaches to hearing the word of God. There are those who are relativistic hearers, those who undermine the authority of Scripture by suggesting that it may be right for you, but it is not right for them. This type of crowd suggests that the word of God is no longer relevant for our day. And they would use an expression, they would say something like, "You have your truth and I have my truth." There are those in our world today who would be what I would call superstitious hearers. They treat the Bible like a magic object of some kind. Like the children of Israel who thought that they would win the battle just because they had the Ark of the Covenant with them. There are people in our world today that believe that just because they have a Bible in their home, or just because their mom and dad reads a Bible, or just because that they read a Bible, that they are automatically blessed by God. There are those who are emotional hearers. Now, there's no doubt about it that the Word of God affects our emotions. But people come to the Bible seeking a certain kind of experience from the Word of God. The reality is they are more interested in their feeling than doing the Word of God. And then there are those who are theoretical hearers. These are hearers who come to the Bible to just gain information. They emphasize Bible knowledge and theological correctness, and they're not really interested in practical godliness, but to them, the Bible is nothing more than a textbook for their life. Now, we have to be careful about our attitude when it comes to the Word of God. God teaches us in this scripture that we are not to live our life with just a vain religion or a vain devotion, but we are to allow the Word of God to impact the way we live our life. Not just a hearer of the Word, but we are to also be a doer of the Word. So let's consider this thought, if we could, this morning. Number one, I think it's very simple and practical. We could say, number one, that there is a command to obey the Bible. It says it in our text in verse 19. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I think in this scripture, James gives us just a practical principle for our life. He says, first of all, we need to be swift to hear. Now, the context from the scripture we're reading is the Word of God. And so as we apply this expression, swift to hear, to the context of what James is writing, we would say that we have to be quick to hear the Word of God. We must believe what the Bible says and obey that Bible truth for our life. Now we understand that there are many people in our world that listen. But do they truly hear what God is saying? You can listen to something, but not really hear what is being said. The psalmist said this in Psalm 85, verse 8. He says, "I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints, but let them not turn again to folly." The psalmist said, "I will hear what God has to say. I will hear the Word of God." And as we hear the Word of God, there are important truths that is related to our hearing. First of all, hearing the Bible builds our faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When we talk about hearing, we're talking about applying that truth to our life. So the Word of God builds our faith. George Mueller said this, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." As we listen to the Word of God, as we turn our heart to the Word of God, it builds our faith. As we obey those truths for our life, we build our faith. Hearing the Bible builds our faith. Number two, hearing the Bible is a way of a wise man. Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." As we hear the Word of God, and as we apply those biblical truths to our lives every day, we are building our life upon a solid foundation. And we are wise in doing so. I mean, the foolish man and the wise man are two individuals that both heard the words of Jesus, but only one responded correctly. And so we want to be a wise man or a wise individual when it comes to the Word of God. Think about this practical thought, if I could give it to you this morning. If your car was making loud noises And you went to a mechanic and he said, well, just turn up your radio. That's not a good mechanic. Your car's making loud noises and you bring that car to a car doctor or a mechanic. And he says, listen to me, you need to get that car fixed right away. It's dangerous. And you decide that you're a better mechanic than him. So you drive that car anyway. You drive that car, and one day you're driving that car, and those car brakes, they lock up, and you swerve off the road, and you almost die. What does the Bible call you? The Bible calls you a fool. Because you were given truth, you were given information, and your response to that information was not a response of humility, but a response of pride. You knew better, you had the answer, and it almost costed your life. And that's what the Bible says for 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, you could write it down. The Bible says, but we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well if you take heed. It is beneficial for your life if you heed the word of God. It is good for you if you follow the Bible. So the word of God will grow our faith. The word of God is the following, or hearing the word of God is the pathway of a wise man. But number three, obeying the Bible can save our soul. That's what the Bible says in James 1:21. Wherefore, laying aside all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive the meekness of the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. A couple of thoughts. Number one, I think we can look at this passage of Scripture and we can understand that the Bible gives us the pathway to heaven. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. It speaks of our sinful state. It talks about the fact that we are separated from God and that we cannot save ourselves, that Jesus is our Savior, and if we put our faith and trust in Him and call upon His name, then we will receive that eternal life. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And practical speaking, we can talk about salvation of our soul when it comes to putting our faith and trust in Jesus and building our life upon that foundation. But as we look at the context of James chapter 1:21, he's actually talking about a Christian's life following the Bible, following the principles of the Bible. It will spare us from a lot of trouble that would come into our life. It'll protect us and help us from a lot of disappointments and a lot of pitfalls that will come into our life. The Bible says that the word of God, the engrafted word of God, is able to save or to secure, to protect our soul. You could write it down, number four, that hearing the word of God or obeying the word of God will help us to grow spiritually. We don't want to have that superstitious attitude toward the word of God where we have the idea, well, you know, I listened to the sermon on the live stream, or I came to church and I'm growing in my Christian life because I was present. And yet this is a false pretense about the Bible and about God and the power of the word of God in our life. I want us to turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And I want us to consider here this thought, Hebrews chapter 4, and notice what the Bible is saying here. Hebrews chapter 4, the context of the passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 4, we're going to look at verse 11. The context of the passage of Scripture, it's talking about rest in the Christian life. Rest in the Christian life. It's talking about being right with God. And that contentment and that rest that we have in trusting God and relying on God in our life. It says in verse 11, in our text here, Hebrews chapter 4, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. And the Greek word here in verse 11 for that word labor The Greek word here gives us several word pictures throughout the New Testament as that word is interpreted different ways throughout the Bible. It's interpreted endeavor three times, due diligence two times, be diligent two times, give diligence one time, be forward, labor, and study. Study to show thyself approved. Actually, same Greek word here is the word labor. And so what the Bible is saying is the word of God is powerful, but we have to apply the Bible and read the Bible and study the Bible in order for us to glean what God wants to give us from the Word of God. Our Bible is truth and help to our life, but it takes effort for us to read the Word of God and to obey the Word of God for our life. And so the context of that is to labor into that, to get into that rest, into that trusting. Remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then in verse 12 it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful. The word quick there means it is alive. It is a living book. It is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing sunder of soul and spirit, the temporal and the eternal. It divides the temporal and the eternal of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Here, I'll just paraphrase it for you. The Bible knows you better than you know yourself. It digs down deep into the soul of humanity, and the Bible teaches us the very intentions of our heart. You know why people don't like the Bible? Because they don't like what they see. The Bible tells them who they really are, and they don't like to be known. They don't like to know who they really are. I was talking to a lady, giving her the gospel during vacation Bible school one time. She had sent her child to vacation Bible school. We were out in the parking lot talking. We talked about church. We talked about the Bible. We started talking about salvation. And I said to the lady, I said, listen, the Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. And she looked at me and she said, hey, listen, let's not get into name-calling now. The Bible isn't name-calling. The Bible is diagnosing your condition. You wouldn't, the doctor said to you, listen, I want you to know that you have cancer. You wouldn't say, whoa, doctor, let's not get into the name-calling now. No, he's given you a diagnosis. When the Bible says that we're sinners, it's diagnosing your condition. It's telling you your problem. And it's saying, listen, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible knows you better than you know yourself. The Word of God will do its part. It will dig deep into your heart. It is alive. It is powerful. And yet we must labor. We must obey the Word of God for our life. Now, oftentimes there are three responses when it comes to the Word of God. The first response is people will flee it. They don't want to read it. They don't want to listen. I mean, when the Word of God begins to step on their toes and convict them, then what do? They draw back, they flee, they push away. There are people who will fight it. They'll excuse it away. They'll make up reasons why they cannot obey the Word of God, why they cannot follow the Word of God. And yet God bless those that face it. And they hear the Word of God and they say, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord. I need your help. I need your direction and guidance in my life. And they say that prayer, Lord, forgive me, or Lord, help me. And they make that change in their life. This is how we ought to respond to the Word of God. This is how we ought to follow the direction and guidance of the Holy Spirit in our life. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. This is what the Bible teaches us about the Christian life, that obedience to the Bible is that working out your own salvation, allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you and to guide you, and you responding correctly to the Bible. We are to be swift to hear the Word of God. Number two, we need to be slow to speak. Now, I think when we consider the context of the scripture here, we consider the context of the Word of God, we need to stop trying to change the Bible, and we need to obey the Bible for our life. Someone said this, the Bible doesn't need to be rewritten, it needs to be reread. I think that's true, and I think that's important for our life. In a world where everyone has an opinion about everything, I mean, our world, everyone, and we're living in the age of information, and the World Wide Web has really just opened the playing field for everyone to be an expert about anything they want. And everyone has an opinion, and everyone has something to say. And yet, I want to remind you that we need to let God do the talking in our life. And listen to what God has to say. We need to be swift to hear God and slow to speak. Think about Judges chapter 6 for a moment and the life of Gideon. And Gideon was a good man. I'm glad when God looks at us, he sees our potential. And not where we are. In Judges chapter 6, verse 13, the Bible says, and Gideon said unto him, Ah, my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why is all of this befallen us? If God is with his people, the people of Israel, then why are all these things happening? By the way, we call that consequences. The Bible says, and where be all his miracles, which our fathers told us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us in the hands of the Midianites. This is Judges chapter 6, verse 13. Verse 14 says, And the Lord looked upon him and said, Go in this thy might. Thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I and the least of my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, show me a sign that thou talkest with me. I mean, you gotta prove to me that you are even speaking to me right now. Gideon always had a response to the word of God, didn't he? He always had an excuse of why God couldn't use him. And he was constantly fighting God's work and God's call in his life. Let me suggest to you this morning, when it comes to the word of God, just be slow to speak. We hear the Bible being preached. The very first thought that may come into our mind is, hey, I'm really glad that so-and-so is hearing this message today. Or I hope so-and-so is watching that live stream this morning. They really need this message. No, you know who really needs this message? Is you need this message and I need this message. We need to be slow to speak. How should we respond to the word of God? We should respond to the word of God like Samuel was told to respond to the word of God. He was told to say, Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I'm going to hear what God has to say. And I'm going to be slow to speak. Number three, let's think about this. We need to be slow to wrath. A person must not react against what God says about temptation and sin, nor about what God has to say about salvation. If a person reacts against God's plan of salvation and follows his own plan, he is only dooming himself. No person can ever be saved or conquer temptation or live the victorious Christian life reacting in anger against the word of God. A person must not be angry or act against others in wrath. Anger and wrath disturb and distract. An angry person cannot focus his thoughts and his spirit upon the word of God, not enough to hear what the word of God is saying. An angry person just cannot do what God says. An angry person cannot do what God says. It's in our text, James 1, verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And those people who fight against the word of God and are constantly doing battle with God in their life and making excuses for why they don't do these things and why they do these things, those individuals never get to where God wants them to be. So we are to be slow to speak, we are to be slow to wrath, and we are to be quick to hear what God has to say. So, real simple, the command to hear the word of God. Number two, let's look at this. The condition of those that do not obey. What is the condition of those who do not obey the word of God? Well, look at our text here, James 1, verse 22. We're dissecting this scripture together. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only. Look at this. Deceiving your own selves. For if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass, and he beholding himself, he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Number one, what is the condition of those who don't obey the Bible, who are hearers but not doers? Here is the first condition. Number one, real simple, they are deceived. They are deceived. Those that hear the Bible but do not obey the Bible, they are deceiving their own self. You know, Bible study, reading the Bible, is not an end in itself. It is a means to the end. We hear the word of God, and then the Bible calls us to a response. The climax of truth is always to make a decision. The climax of truth is always to make a decision. How many sermons have you heard in your lifetime? How many sermons have I heard in my lifetime and walked away and never made one decision for the Lord? You can say, well, yeah, but the preacher wasn't very good. Well, he might not be able to get you to emotionally respond. He might not have all the wonderful, you know, words that get you to emotionally make a decision. But truth is truth, and the Bible is the Bible, and the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian, is living within you, and he uses the Bible to convict your heart and brings you to a place where you make a decision for the Lord. James gives to us a Bible illustration here. He says, if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And the thought there is a mirror, and a man is looking in that mirror, and he's seeing changes that have to be made. But instead, he just walks away, and he forgets what manner of man he was. Oh, this has to be done in my life. This should be changed in my life. I should say yes. I should say yes to this. I need to do this. I need to stop doing this. And they look at themselves and they say, you know what? I'm just going to walk away. And they walk away from a church service, or they walk away from their Bible reading, or they walk away from that message, or they walk away from the guidance of a friend, and they never make a decision for the Lord Jesus. The Bible says here that individual, that man, if he thinks that hearing the truth only is going to make him a spiritual Christian, then he is under a false pretense. He is deceived, thinking everything is okay, because everything is not okay. The Lord has brought him to a place of decision, but he's walked away. And the scripture says, listen, that individual is deceived. He is deceived. That condition must be taken care of. That state must be dealt with. And the Holy Spirit has touched our heart for a very reason, for that very reason, to get us to obey the Word of God, to get us to obey the Bible. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4, the Bible says our world will be full of traitors, and they'll be heady and high-minded. They'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I think we can look at our society today and say, you know what, that's our society today. They are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And the Bible says in verse 5 that they have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Bible says in the scripture that if any man seem to be religious, and yet he bridleth not his tongue, this is verse 26. The Bible says that he deceiveth his own heart. This man's religion, or this man's devotion to God, is vain. I mean, he's going through the motions, and he hears the Bible and carries the Bible under his arm, and he's going through all the motions of the Christian life, but he's responding to the Bible. He's not allowing the Word of God to change him. And the Bible says he may seem to be religious. He may outwardly look like he's devoted to God, But this man's devotion is empty because he is just a hearer of the word, but he's not a doer of the word. For a doer of the word, verse 27, is pure religion, undefiled before God. It is visiting the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and keeping himself unspotted from the world. This is allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide someone's life. And so they are not only deceived, but they are also diluted because they are not living to their full potential. They are not living the way God would have them to live the Christian life because they're just a facade. They're just going through the motions of the Christian life, but there is no heart involved. And the Bible says here in this scripture that they hear, but they do not respond to the Bible. Number three, not only the command to obey the Bible, and not only the condition of those who do not obey the Bible, but I want us to think about quickly, and we have to end with this, the characteristic of those that obey the word of God. It's found in verse 25. Look what the Bible says here. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty, this is the mirror of the word of God. And when you look into the mirror of the word of God and you continue therein, the thought there to continue therein means that they are a doer of the work, okay? The Bible says change this, they change that, and they continue to live their life with that change. So they are governed by the word of God. The Bible says this, so I don't do this. The Bible gives me this principle, and I abide by that principle. They are governed by the Bible. They are influenced, by the Bible. And so the Bible says here that this individual is not a forgetful hearer, verse 25, but he is a doer of the work. Look at this. This man shall be blessed in his deed. The Bible says here that he looks into, just let me define some words here that will give you a better understanding of verse 25. The Bible says he looketh into. The thought there is to stoop down, to take time, and to read the Bible. So it takes effort, right? You don't become a strong Christian. You don't trip over coming into church on Sunday morning. You gotta take effort. You gotta work at it. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You gotta look at the Bible. You gotta look into the Word of God. And then to continue therein, the thought there is to stay near, to abide, to continue in. The thought there of forgetful are those that walk away from the Bible, or those who walk away from truth, and they forget what was taught or what was given to them. They hear the truth, but they live their life not according to that truth. They just do the opposite. And the Bible says here the word doer is one that makes a decision or acts upon that decision or what was heard. This man, this individual, this Christian, will be blessed in all of his deeds. Just an interesting thought here. Think about this. God has promised to bless his word. God will bless his word. And if we take our life and line it up with the Bible, guess what? That's where blessing, God's blessing is found. And so when we follow the word of God, when we are a doer of the work, God's blessing will be seen. This man shall be blessed, James says, in his deed. When we practice the promises and precepts and principles of the Word of God, we will find true happiness and contentment in our life. What is revival? If we were going to define revival, what would we say revival is? I know a lot of people have different opinions of what revival is, but let's think of this simple definition. Revival is God pointing his finger at you. And when we open the Bible, every single time we open the Bible, God points his finger at us and encourages us. He exhorts us. He rebukes us. He reproves us. But God is always looking to us to help us. Listen to me. And if we just open the Bible and read the Bible like it's a textbook or a history book or just another book on our shelf, we're never going to get to where God wants us to be. But the Bible says a man that's blessed is a man who is not just a hearer of the word, but a doer. That man will be blessed in his deeds. So let me ask you this question. Are you a hearer and a doer of the word of God? I hope so. I hope that the Lord is working in your life even now. And I hope that you would make changes and decisions based upon the word of God. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for all you've done for us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for its ability to change our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to embrace it, to love it, to read it, to study it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to learn and glean truths, to make us closer to you, to make us more like you in our life every day. Lord, we love you. We thank you for who you are to us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.